The words of the 23rd Psalm are among the best known of Scripture. Many of you know these words by heart as poetry. This psalm is exceptional with its powerful images that build from one to the next. As a theological statement, there is no greater truth than what we read in these words. Psalm 23 describes God as a shepherd who nurtures, feeds, and protects the flock. As shepherd, God provides healing and righteousness. God provides protection against evil. God watches over the flock forever. Now, we can talk about this psalm until the sheep come home, but there is no substitute for hearing its words. So let me read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Jews of Jesus' day knew this psalm as well as we do, if not better. The image of God as a shepherd is not unique, however, to this particular psalm, and we can find an equally robust statement of God the shepherd in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. In that book of prophecy, God declares these words, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will feed them with good pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Now, the Jews of Jesus' day would have also recognized this portrayal of God as shepherd. So when Jesus comes along and declares, I am the good shepherd, they no doubt understood what he was saying, but I'm sure they were also likely just a bit confused. On the one hand, they're familiar with this shepherd image. On the other hand, they probably wondered if this man, Jesus, by taking the title of good shepherd for himself, is not somehow claiming to be God. Well, the answer is yes. Yes, this man is not only claiming to be God, but as we know, he is God. Just like those people of Jesus' day, we too are comfortable and familiar with the image of the shepherd. Jesus, however, takes this image and raises the bar just a bit. He does so in two ways. One, through his sacrifice, and secondly, through his word. The first addition that Jesus makes to this shepherd image is that of sacrifice. The good shepherd loves his sheep so much that he is willing to give his life for them. As we read today, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I read that and I think, really? A shepherd is willing to die for some smelly old sheep? I don't think that this is normal. But this shepherd is not normal. He is willing to die for his sheep. Jesus then goes on to describe what the hired hand does. The hired hand does not own the sheep. The hired hand is not invested in those sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. And so when the hired hand sees danger, such as an approaching wolf, the hired hand abandons his post because to him, getting hurt or killed is simply not worth it. The hired hand views his life as greater than the lives of the sheep that he is supposed to be watching and caring for. Today, deep into this season of Lent, 2 weeks now from Easter, it is a good time for us to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and his death on the cross and to ask ourselves, what does it mean? Well, for one thing, it is further proof of Jesus' love for us. The Good Shepherd is not some hired hand that scurries off at the first sign of trouble. Jesus himself had every opportunity to escape his fate. He could have walked over that hill and disappeared into the night and never be seen again. But he didn't. He marched to the cross to demonstrate his love and commitment to us. God's love and commitment for us. Jesus is clear that he is giving his life willingly. No one takes it from me, he explains. And Jesus giving himself on the cross, giving his life, was not something they made up at the last moment. We know from Scripture that this was part of God's plan for our salvation from the beginning of time. That Jesus would give himself, give his life so that we might live. The first thing Jesus brings to this image of the shepherd is his sacrifice, but the second is his accessibility. The good shepherd is there for all who hear his voice. The people of Israel, they saw themselves as God's people, God's children. They were the chosen race. And you know what? They were. Because, after all, they were the ones that God led out of Egypt. They were the ones that God led across the wilderness. God gave them the law. God gave them the land of promise that would be their own. But Jesus is explaining here that they are not the only chosen people. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. When the flocks are brought together, there will then be one flock, one shepherd, as Jesus tells us. This flock will not be limited to the people of Israel, but it will include all those who hear Jesus' voice. Those who listen, those who hear, they are Jesus' flock. In raising the bar of what it means to be a shepherd, Jesus opens the world to be part of his flock. In this season of Lent, it is a good time for us to reflect on what it means to be sheep in this flock. It means, as we saw several weeks ago, that we are the ones who enter through the gate. Jesus is our way to salvation. We know his voice. We follow him. He cares for us. He keeps us safe. And when we do wander away, as we are frequently guilty of doing, he drops everything and searches until he finds us and can bring us back to the fold. So in this season of Lent, as we approach the cross, that moment where Jesus gave himself, it is the best time to ask, what does it mean for us to be part of this flock? Will we follow the one whose voice we hear? Will we listen to that voice? Will we accept what he brings to us? And then, as Christians, we can also ask ourselves, how do we treat others that are in the flock? How can we draw others to the flock to teach them, to lead them, and to give ourselves for them as Christ gave himself for us? These are some of the many questions that we are challenged to confront in the season of Lent. Amen.